Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Jane Hoffman. I'm doing a live show with Political Gravity and my adjoining co-host that will be joining me soon. We're discussing the death of O.J. Simpson and a Galatians 4 prophecy that pertains to world events today and people's loyalty and submission to God. I'm playing a song before we begin.
Thank you.
low-key show tonight. John is on the line, and Don will be joining us. Tonight's topic is the death of O.J. Simpson and Galatians 4, New Testament Christian prophecy that gets overlooked sometimes. Tonight we will be discussing the main impediment of Pianke's brain. He cannot understand Judeo-Christian prophecy. Pianke wants to cling to his dead ancient gods that are immaterial apart from a living God. We will be reading from Galatians and Corinthians. Now, I see Singapore Mike called, and yes, it's an open floor tonight. So O.J. Simpson's death preempted Pianke's atheism, so I will be reciting Galatians 4 later, but we're going to do the headline news things with O.J.'s death. I'll pull John in first. Hi, John.
Hello, glorious Jane.
News flash, the juice is dead.
Yes. Is he frozen? Is he frozen concentrate, or is he hot lemonade right now?
I don't know, but the family asked for privacy during his, you know, like all the other things they have to take care of. And he did die in Vegas. I'm assuming it was at a hospital or at home. He had cancer.
You know, the odds are 5-1 he went to hell, but his daughter, you know, I believe it was Sydney. I was looking it up. He had 3 kids from his first wife, Margaret Simpson. And
I thought
married,
he only had one.
No, he was married young, and he went to he actually, at 5, he had a feet problem. He had braces on his legs. And then he started getting into trouble and, you know, fights and kind of, you know, street fighting. And then he went to high school in San Francisco. And then he played, I think, for San Francisco City College. And he got the scholarship to USC, went down to L.A., became a star. And then he had two or three kids during that thing. And then
He stole Marguerite from his best friend. And they did have one of the daughters, Arlene or something like that, she was a witness. She was in the house when O.J. killed Nicole. And she, that Cato Kalin compound. And we do have, we don't go into the whole thing yet because I want to say hi to Singapore Mike. But just one thing, I knew about the braces on his leg, and I lived on Potrero Hill, the same place O.J. lived in Frisco, and I lived there in 1996 as a nanny.
What was it like there? Is it a nice area?
It was really high and hilly. It's a hilly part of Frisco, and it's overlooking, it's about a mile from downtown.
Wow.
So
hi,
Singapore Mike.
Go for it.
Hello, Jane. Hello, John. And it is our...
Now, last time you were sassy, Singapore Mike, and you hung up when John was in the middle of his JFK speech.
No, right, because I was talking, give you a little bit of the news flash, but somehow you cut me off and you went to John or something else, and I guess I'm mad on you.
Because
but
the reason why is we don't have your phone number, and I couldn't inform you ahead of time. It was a special edition on the JFK assassination. So I didn't cut you off. I told you to hold on a minute. That's what I told you. But it's okay. Yeah. It's all in the past now.
Can I
so don't worry about it, Singapore.
I mean,
if I had your email or if I had your phone number, I can tell you stuff in advance, but I don't.
Right. But you are Scandinavian. You are from a NATO country, ex-NATO country. So, you know, you are top journalist. So, anyway, so...
Don Gallimore's on the phone, too. We have 3 people. If you want to say a few things, Singapore Mike, before John goes into his O.J. rant, go ahead.
Okay, regarding the situation in Middle East, it's tit for tat. So right now, I mean, Ayatollahs are armed to death, and Israelis are armed to death. We just sent them 3,000, tanks, American tanks, to them a couple of weeks ago. So basically everything is ready, ripe, and everything is loaded.
Are you talking about the Ayatollah of Iran?
Right. Ayatollahs.
What did he say?
Okay, he's going to attack Israel from many fronts. First of all, they are going to send supersonically many missiles that are available to them to hit Israel, and on top of it, Iraqi proxies, Shiaism that they support, they are going to attack Israel as well. Hezbollah of Lebanon.
Well, we might as well say it's World War III then.
Exactly. Exactly. Everything.
We will discuss that. I would like to say hi to Don. Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hello. Hey, Mike. Hi, Jane. Hello.
Don, I know you're buried in paperwork tonight, so stay on the show as long as you want. The headliner is O.J. Simpson's dead, and other people have some of their own stuff they want to talk about.
That's fine.
So first, Don, weren't you in the same prison with O.J. at one time?
No.
You told me you had a 60-day DUI sentence. It was right near O.J.
I'm trying to remember. I might have been somewhere in the vicinity. I don't know if I was in the same. I don't think I was in the same place.
Did you sleep?
I don't think I was in the same time. I wasn't there with him at the same time. I don't know. I don't remember.
Did you sleep with OJ? Were you in the same bunk with him?
Like I said, I don't remember.
Well, your wife told me that you were in the same area.
It might have been. I might have been in the general area. I know that I was with a couple others. But I don't.
Okay, well, Singapore, Mike, hold the Iraqi thought or Iran thought. And first, I'll just say briefly, the OJ trial strongly impacted my life. I was standing in the bank when the non-guilty verdict came through. It was a mesmerizing case that involved race, racial division, intermixed marriage, not so much white privilege, but just a messed up marriage gone wrong. And who else would like to talk about it?
I'd like to get an opinion. Singapore Mike, do you think OJ did it?
If you remember, OJ played in the same movie, same scenario, same outcome, and so he already done it in the movie theater. So he already knew it, and this time he did it very goodly. So yes, he did it. I 100% positive, because you know he was in prison actually for a long time too. But the way you know he was in prison, and
right.
He was like he was so innocent and bullshit, but they free him much more sooner. Yes, your answer. To Mike, respond to your question is absolutely yes. Go ahead, please.
And how about you, Don? Is the juice innocent?
If it don't fit, you must acquit.
Is that in regards to the glove or the condom?
By the way, he was the American Dream personified. We forgot to add.
But who forgot to add? That, I mean, the guy had a terrible history. He had a rough childhood. So, you know, he did things that he thought maybe were right, because he didn't really send, you know, he spent no time for the killings, if he was alleged killings. Well, they weren't alleged killings. They were killings, but allegedly by him. But he did spend time trying to get back property that he alleged was stolen. So that was the time he did time. So he didn't do time about killings. So that means it didn't happen. So just everybody needs to shut the fuck up.
Okay, the thing is so he really did love his wife. He just loved her the wrong way.
He loved her to death.
Exactly.
Because he stared through the window one night when she made love to someone else, and he didn't have a healthy outlook with Nicole Brown. He couldn't let go.
Apparently not. Well, one thing that sticks out is his blood was all over the place. And the fact is, even Shapiro, his attorney, you know, he said, they asked him, you know, after the trial, you know, what do you think? Did he do it? He said, you know, his blood was everywhere. I just can't work around that. Like, you know, there's just no escaping it. So, and they kind of worked on this whole theory that they never proved, but they put the idea of doubt, you know, that Furman went back to the lab, got the blood sample, went back to the crime scene that they already had marked off. People with cameras and little markers on there, and he's walking around and just kind of, he's got a little hidden vial, and he's kind of flinging it here and flinging it there. I mean, have you been on a crime scene? You know how detailed that is and how they're checking everyone out? And interesting is that the OJ thing, it was the first televised, I mean, actually Ted Bundy was the first televised court thing, but it was the first time it was like global. It was global news. And Mark Levin was a news reporter, beat reporter, and he launched TMZ off of that. You know, and now he's like, you know, he's an icon.
I thought Mark Levine was like a conservative talk host on the same channel that Larry Elder was.
Well, whoever the guy who hosts TMZ, you know, I believe it's Mark Levin. He launched it off of that whole, his notoriety, and you know, it made people famous, right? You know, Marsha Clark and Judge Ito, Kato Kaelin. I mean, this is just classic, you know, theater. And OJ trying to put on
the
glove.
That's what made it so interesting is the cast of characters.
Yes, and then you had OJ, he's trying to put on the glove, and you can see him, he's stretching his fingers out, right? He's stretching them out. He's got a glove on inside of the glove, and he's going like, he's doing this painful, like, oh, I just can't barely get this glove on, you know, it's kind of funny. And also, I can tell you, I have several gloves around, and I have some work gloves, some junk gloves, and they don't fit. But I stick them on, you know, when I'm, you know, going to pick up, you know, a mess, going to clean the wall or something like that. Not all gloves are equal.
Supposedly OJ is Khloe Kardashian's dad.
That's what they say. I could
okay,
tell you.
Okay, Singapore Mike.
A little
how
DNA
old were you,
testing.
Singapore Mike, when OJ was exonerated? Were you in your 20s? I mean, were you young or old or... I mean, do you remember it?
I mean, yes, of course I do remember it. I was in the United States of America, and I was in Tehran, GLS, USA.
Wow. So, Don, why did you make that comment? Are you like my Jamaican friend Claire that thinks that Nicole Brown was killed by drug lords?
No, you, man, you people don't understand that shit. The motherfucker is acquitted. He's exonerated if he is not if he's not, like, you know, if he's not guilty.
We know that he got off, but he also had retribution. It's not like he was walked scot-free.
Right. Well, the thing is, the criminal part of it says that he was just negligent at some of the things that he did, and so that's what he got civil case against him. But in terms of
it was your Nevada courts that nailed him on when he tried to get his Heisman Trophy back. They're
right,
the ones
right.
who laid down the law with him.
That's what I already went through. The bottom line is that leave him alone, let him rest in peace. He had, you know, there are iconic people in the latter part of our generation, of the 20th century, who will play a big role in the next 20 years in our psyche, and O.J. is one of them. O.J. was an iconic, classic personality, and, you know, he's going to be very well missed because he did a lot of good things. He did,
he was an excellent football player, and he was also gorgeous.
He was a Heisman Trophy winner, so you can't just say he's excellent. He was among, you know, the 100 best in the history of the sport. And when you talk about USC, you talk about USC, you talk about O.J., and you're talking the same sentence.
Don't you think a murder charge kind of dampens that, though?
What about Caitlyn or whatever, Caitlyn Jenner, whatever her name is? That was the other biggest iconoclastic.
All Caitlyn Jenner did is he killed Bruce Jenner. He didn't kill anybody else.
Well, the thing is that you're the greatest athlete of all time. Of all time. Greatest athlete of all time. No, this is Bruce Jenner.
And then he turns into a middle-aged woman with no, really at age 60, it's a dumb idea.
I have no fucking clue. But that's one of those iconoclastic moments in the 20th century that will always be ingrained, embedded on our memory.
Well,
we have another
question,
caller, but I'll let you guys talk a few minutes. Caller, could you please wait a moment?
Here's a question, Don. If your daughter wanted, one of your daughters wanted to marry O.J., date and marry O.J., and or if you had a cousin who, let's say you were, you know, your cousin was like Nicole Brown Simpson, would you have the same attitude about, I mean, I know under the law, technically, he's innocent until proven guilty, but your personal thoughts, like, in other words, do you think he did it? We're not talking about whether he's innocent. Did he do it? And or would you let your daughter date him?
Of course not, my friend. First of all, he was an asshole. and he was a murderer. And, I mean, not because of the color of his skin, you know, because, I mean, anybody, it could be white, it could be Asian, it could be Palestinian, it doesn't matter. If any of the them it was in the same situation, we would call them an asshole. And, of course, you don't want your daughter or anybody of your acquaintances, you know, to be married with that O.J.
The last time I checked, Don wasn't related to a hot German woman.
But I'd sure like to be.
Well, you know, blondes were dying to meet O.J. I mean, he was dating blondes after Nicole's thing and doing coke and doing parties.
I know.
Parties
one of them was a girl from Minnesota, and she was a Nicole Brown lookalike.
Yeah,
okay, I'm bringing in the guest caller who has the same phone number as Singapore Mike. Who's on the line
it's
in the 111?
Is it Sarge?
Who?
Sarge.
Oh, hi,
Sarge.
Pianchi is on probation in our show, so I just had to double check it wasn't him. So anyways, we're talking about the OJ death, which happened yesterday technically, and we're recollecting memories not just of his so-called accused murder, but of his entire life. Do you have
so
any comments?
You mean he died yesterday?
Yeah, he died yesterday. That's why we're talking about him.
Oh, I didn't know
that.
Oh, my goodness. We've been talking about all this time. You didn't know.
No. I mean, I thought you put a show about him, but I wasn't aware, really, that OJ was deceased.
He died
so
at 76 of prostate cancer yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And he was born the same year as Donald Trump.
Oh, okay.
So one can only hope.
So are you saying that Donald Trump has a prostate cancer too?
No, I'm saying that if I'm a mean liberal, I could wish for the same thing. But anyways, let's Sarge talk first.
Okay.
Hi, Sarge. That was a bad thing I just said, you guys. I forgive myself. Sarge, are you there? Maybe he doesn't want to talk to me now that I said that. Okay,
maybe.
Anybody?
Yeah,
you guys can chip in whenever. All I'm saying is me and Erica Lundgren were mesmerized by OJ in high school. We collected pictures in magazines, and we loved football. And then all of a sudden he turned into a domestic abuser who killed his wife. So that was pretty devastating in my generation.
Mm. Wow.
Are you sure, Jane, that OJ isn't Lolo's father?
No, but I liked Ahmad Rashad better than OJ. I didn't have any black lovers until I turned 20-something.
Not even Marcus Allen?
He was hot, too.
I mean, I
was in love with
Indian.
Poochie Harris in Virginia. It's another story.
I mean, you are a Scandinavian. I mean, you are a white Aryan nation.
I've only dated three black guys in my life. So, John, don't get the wrong idea.
Wow. Well, they made quite an impression on you.
Well, that's because black, as Don would say, black men are more fertile, and I'm fertile with black men.
And your twin sister.
So what about the Middle Eastern man? Have you a Middle Eastern man taste too or not?
I've dated a Tajikistan, a Macedonian, and I was married to a green card husband 5 years from Pakistan, but we never had sex.
Thank you. So Abkia Hale, Tikhe. So you should speak Urdu, right?
Say what?
So you speak Urdu then? Because you had a Paki.
No, but my Tajik boyfriend spoke 7 languages: Arabic, French, Spanish, English, Russian,
Farsi.
I guess
Farsi too. Because
spoke
Tajik,
5 languages.
Tajik, they speak. Because Tajik, they speak Farsi, same. So, salam, hal shuma chetore, khubi.
Right,
so
he did speak
understand.
Farsi, too. That was the 6th language.
Right.
But he also
right.
spoke fluent Russian because Tajikistan
right.
was part of Russia. And he
right.
taught me Russian.
So what happened?
Takvastavut.
So did
what?
You get some money from him? Because you get
no,
married
he
for
was,
green card?
Or? He was 23 years younger than me, and he was an actor. The Pakistan guy that I married, which is not Tajikistan, yes, I got
Taki,
money.
Taki.
I got money
oh, okay.
because it was a money deal. It wasn't a love deal.
Oh, okay. But
now this show
is
turning into
the
Jane Tabloid Hour, so can we change the subject?
Okay, but I'm surprised you don't speak Paki or you don't speak Farsi.
I don't because I only saw him once a month. We didn't even hang out together.
I mean, what was the Tajik? You said the Tajik guy you were married.
The Tajik guy I was in love with, but he spoke all kinds of languages. I have an acting reel on my YouTube page of him speaking four languages.
So,
yo conoce español, habla. He spoke Spanish too, I'm trying to say.
Okay, so habla español. Sí, mucho gusto. Mire usted.
How come you know so many languages?
Oh, well, I am international journalist, so I am international.
Yes.
I have to listen to many news from different countries to check them out to see when I'm telling you World War III has started already.
That's excellent.
So I have to give you the correct information because I don't like to just call you or other shows that I have everybody love me too as much as you guys do. So anyway, bottom line is, you know, I have to give the truth. So I have to be international. I speak also many languages. Yes, I do. And Paki is one of them. Hindi is one of them. Bengali is one of them. I mean, Farsi, Urdu, I mean, Spanish, I mean, some French, of course, and
I know
English,
some French.
America. Yes.
Solo habla.
Bien.
Solo habla un poco de español. No armo oraciones. France. Michel Anne, vous travaillez non, rigardon à la télévision, pourquoi? I learned that in eighth grade.
You sound like the Google translator, you know, when it goes, para español.
Well, my Spanish dialogue I learned in eighth grade, I never forgot it. Michel Anne, vous travaillez, what are you doing? No, rigardon à la télévision. Pourquoi? No, I'm watching TV.
Do you kiss in French or in Spanish?
I kiss in the ghetto
French
language of Watts. But
okay.
Now that I get older, I'm more attracted to white men.
White? Oh, okay. I mean, what kind of white man? I mean, Middle Eastern,
like a
white
rich
man.
German.
I mean, Germany, Almania, yeah, Almania. Okay,
anybody who's well educated and rich is people I'm attracted to. I don't care if they're rich, but if they're well educated, it helps.
Like yourself, right?
I'm well educated, but I'm still ghetto in a way.
Ted Bundy was very well educated.
My son just got back from the army, you guys. He's serving the United States Army. He's back in the house.
Oh, is he Persian Gulf?
And he's half Liberian. I tapped another minority for that child.
Does he want to be in the house?
What, Don?
Does he want to be there?
Yes, he's happy as a clam. He's cleaned and organized every room for 4 days. We got rid of my old roommate's stuff. He's been a cleanaholic like Felix Unger. I feel like that TV show, The Odd Couple. And
be careful.
He organizes and reorganizes the refrigerator, and he cooks his own food even though I make some extra because he lets me, and he's very efficient.
So what happens what happens if they recall him to Persian Gulf in a few days? I mean,
well, 4-13. Okay, he's done with the army. He's on 60 days leave, and he was at a base where they don't deploy people. However, he has an extended 4-year contract, so they could try to force him back, but he's not going, he said.
Oh, okay.
What's
good.
The worst thing they can do? Throw him in the brig?
Right, right. So that's
well, I
good.
Think,
I mean,
just so you guys know, Sarge is still on the phone. I apologize for my comment about Donald Trump. He just gets on my nerves from time to time.
I know.
And I've
actually
been
Sarge
doing a little research about him.
I mean, Sarge is very, very articulate. I mean, actually, sometimes, I mean...
He's a good caller on all our shows. Now,
course,
do you guys
course,
think that O.J., I feel like the trial was in 1995, I believe, so now it's been another 20, 30 years. Let's see, 95, 05, 15. It's been a 30 years, so I think that O.J.'s death is not going to rock the world.
Right.
But it's kind of sad,
know,
when,
Ronald
it's
Goldman,
sad when people
Ronald
die,
Ronald
no matter
Goldman
who they are.
Ronald Goldman said it was a relief.
I was even sad when Saddam Hussein died.
Actually, there was a clip on YouTube that basically Donald Rumsfeld, he was there with Uncle Saddam, Amu Saddam, we call him. Amu Saddam, and then what happened, his army actually played with a snake, and they put the snake into their mouth and cut the head
God.
Of it. With
I wasn't
their teeth.
Sad when Dick Cheney died. What are you trying to tell me, that Saddam Hussein put a snake in his mouth with Donald Rumsfeld?
No, not that. His army. There was a show before Rumsfeld and Amu Saddam, and then basically their soldiers were like fearless, you know. So they played with the snake, and they put in their mouth, they cut the head, and basically they... they made the meat right away into fried the snake and eat them in front of the Amu Saddam and Donald Rumsfeld. But if you Google, if you YouTube it, you should be able to find it. Just say that Saddam soldiers and Rumsfeld, something like that. You should be able to find it.
Just so you guys know, O.J. Simpson's 1 year younger than Trump, but Dick Cheney is still alive. Did you guys know that? So
really?
I hope he's not
listening.
Cheney's still alive, and I hope he's not listening to this show, because I just dissed
him.
He'll
have Homeland Security pick you up for having illegal marriage.
You know what? We already got busted. We got busted for not living together, and he got deported back to Pakistan. It's over and done with. And we got a quickie divorce in Vegas in 2007.
So why you didn't go to TLC so we could see you in TLC and you make some money too? Why not?
The next time I marry, I'm marrying a Russian oligarch that looks like Viktor Petrenko, the ice skater.
I'm sure you can get it, but I don't know in Mississippi, but maybe different states for sure. You can get one.
Okay, can we talk about somebody else's personal life? And we can also talk about who else we wish would not be around.
From OG
I don't
to
want
to
bring God's wrath on me because I have eye surgery tomorrow. I have an optical eye surgery.
Do you have a cataract or glaucoma?
I'm diabetic and my eye hemorrhage behind my eyeball. You can't see the damage, but they have to go in there with a laser point thing and just decide if I had a tear in my retina. Then they have to fix it somehow.
So you have a retina detachment?
I don't know. They don't know yet. They only did an initial exam. And tomorrow's the follow-up appointment with a retina specialist.
Oh, you will know. And then if it is, they have to be, you have to be careful. They have to do it ASAP. And you make sure that, you know, if, you know, first time usually they put oil on it, oil on your eyes.
I'm kind of scared, but I don't want to think about it.
No, no, I have a my relative had experience, so I'm giving you exactly what you need to do. First of all, okay. Technology advances already. So try not to put oil on it. Ask for gas. They put a special, they have like a 200 different gas that they can, after retina heal, I mean, they fix your retina, they put a gas there, and it's much easier for you. And don't put the oil on it. If you put the oil on it, sometimes they get so lazy, dumb asses, and then, you know, technically not more than 6 months. If you put the oil on
your... I have a question.
Your,
I've been putting baby oil on my eyes, I mean on my eyelids for 6 months. Is that dangerous?
Yes. No, don't put anything like that, though, because it absorbs in your, you know, through the skin goes to your eyes,
yeah.
And not only you will be get irritated. So, no, don't do that. Finally, about retina, it's a very simple surgery. I mean, it's not the complex, but, I mean...
They said they were going to use a laser.
No,
all right, go ahead, John. Who is trying to talk over there?
I am. Are you trying to ease the appearance of wrinkles, like, you know, just skin, by putting baby oil around your eyes?
Okay, here's the problem. I don't use eye drops, but now that I'm older, you need to put a moisturizer around your eyes, and I used to use...
Why you don't use
Pond's eye cream, but I ran out, so I've been using baby oil.
Put the Excedra in your eyes. Ask your doctor to give you for dry eye syndrome, Excedra.
Okay, you guys, I'm in no pain at all. None of this is causing me any pain. So it just happened, and I have, what I have in my eyes, it's called a floater, but it's, instead of just being a little black spot, it's a giant, it's a giant spot, and it's round and it's clear, and there's black dots. But it's way worse than any other floater I've had.
So if God forbidden, if you have retina detachment, you will have to be surgery ASAP. Don't tell them, oh, okay, 2 weeks from now. Say, hey, if you don't want to do it, I go to another specialist. You know, like that.
They scheduled me within 24 hours. They're very concerned and helpful.
Okay, good. So then your doctor is pretty damn good one, that if it is the retinal detachment, then you should take it. But if they give you option of oil or gas, tell them gas. Because, you know, then
okay,
they say, oh,
thank you.
Maybe they say, oh, you will get retinal detachment again. Say, I take that risk. You know, but what do you call it? There is a lot of technologies. So, yeah, you know, oil is very crappy, because then if you put the oil, then 6 months they have to take that oil out and put the gas in on it anyway. But in some stupid doctors, what they do, they put 6 months oil on the eyes of their patient, and then after 6 months of so much problems, high pressure, IOP, pressure on their eyes, then what will happen is they will go again, take the oil out, and then they put a heavier oil there. They said, this oil is forever. Bullshit lies. You know, they tell to their patients, and especially if you are age of over, say 60, et cetera.
I'm 63.
They say, oh,
I'm 63.
Okay. But they try to be cut short with the people, son of a bitches. So then they put you heavy oil on it, and then that oil is going to cause more problems down the road, and then you have to find somebody to take that stupid oil that they put on your eyes. So especially it's the best. You have to have a good confidence doctor that they put a gas on it from beginning. And believe it or not, my relative did that. First they put the 6 months oil. Then they put the second oil. Then they put laser surgeries in between
you're a very nice person to take this much time with me, but I don't want to bore John, Don, and Sarge.
Right. Right. But bottom line, don't worry. Go with the gas, and you will be fine. Right now, technology is advanced so much. They do it with laser, of course, and you will be fine. So hopefully, next time you tell us much more that you are better. So we wish you good luck. Go ahead, Don. Go ahead, John. Talk about anything you want.
Thank you so much for helping me, and it gives me some relief to know what's going to be happening. All right, Don and John. Thank you. Don and John and Sarge, what do you guys want to talk about now?
I don't know. Who's that? Maybe it's not Sarge, but usually Sarge, he would talk. And he has a very high personality.
I think I pissed him off, but it's okay if he wants to listen. Maybe he's tired tonight.
I want to talk about Jane's love life.
My love life, just so you guys know, I've been a mournful mother for 3 years when my son was in the Army. I've been living like a widow. So nothing's been happening.
Wow.
That's boring, Jane. We need more
John,
excitement.
Why don't you talk about your trip to San Francisco?
John,
talk about your trip to the baseball game.
Okay, I can tell you about that. I went to the Bay Area, and of course that is San Francisco Giants baseball territory. Back 10 years ago, they were on a roll. They won 3 World Series in 5 years, almost a dynasty, kind of a mini dynasty. And I'm a Giant fan living in L.A., which is Dodger town. So I just kind of live this, you know, I'm a lone Giant fan in a sea of L.A. Dodger nuts. You know, everyone's just kind of crazy about the Dodgers, and that's okay. And so I thought I would get together with some high school friends, church friends from 30 or 40 years ago, and make the game kind of the centerpiece of where we meet. So I went up there, and it was great. It was fantastic. They have a great ballpark up there. It's now named Oracle Park. It used to be AT&T Park, but, you know, these big companies spend, you know, millions of dollars to get the licensing name, so the name changes. You know, it's kind of weird. You know, it's kind of like, I talked to Don last week, and, Oracle Bottom, now his name is, you know, Bob. And you go, it's always been Don when I was a kid, right? So I don't like that whole concept, but it is money, and that's how they roll. And it was a great event, but, you know, I have to tell you, I had a lot of problems because of technology. I bought 10 tickets with Ticket Center, and the problem is, you know, I like the old school where you get your tickets. You just buy them, you got your tickets,
you
give them out to people.
One good site is StubHub.
True, but now here's where it got tweaky. Is, you know, in the past, you buy tickets, right? And let's say you got 10 friends. You give it to them or you mail it to them, and they got their ticket. Everyone meet, you know, here's the game day, and, you know, it's easy breezy. And then as we got more modern, it's like, they email the tickets, right? And so you get the tickets and you scan it, and you make a copy for your friends. Oh, here's a ticket. Scan it. Go in, right? You don't have to be all together. Because I bought 10 tickets with Ticket Center.
Mm-hmm.
They're middleman for Major League Baseball. So I get the tickets with them 3 months ago. And they go, we can't send you the tickets. You'll get an email 2 days before the game. Well, I don't like that already because, you know, now we're not like everyone's in advance a month or two. It's like, okay, we're going to be in the last 48 hours. Everything's got to be tight. And everything's online and robots, right? So if you have a problem, you can't just call someone like the old days and get fixed. So anyway, so like the day before, you know, on the 9th, I'm like, let me check on those tickets. And it's like, it's not coming up. And so I call them and they go, Major League Baseball has them. MLB.com has them. Is yeah, but I bought the tickets from you. Yeah, well, they have confirmed it. So I check in with MLB and they go, you have to set up an account. It's like, you know, it used to be they just email me a confirmation. You click on it, it has the scan. End of deal, right? End of drill. It's like, no, okay. So I have to set up an account. So I set up an account with an email and a password. And it says, we don't recognize your email. It's like, it's the email they sent me the tickets on. How could they not have my email, right? So I dance with them. Point is, I get a copy of it all. It's okay, that's good. So we go to the game, and then, half the people are there and the other half are in other areas. It's like, 40,000 people. And, you think it's going to be easy. Just meet me at the front. Well, there's like three or four entrances. So, and there are, if you go around the park, it's like, half a mile. And you think, just wave. I'm at the Gaylord Perry or the Willie Mays statue. Just wave. And you're sitting there looking around. There's like, 40,000 people with Giant shirts on. It's like, I can't see him. I felt like JFK at the grassy knoll. I mean, literally, they're like, I'm right here. I'm like, I'm right here. Where are you? It's like, you can't see me? No, I can't see you. I'm blind. I'm like, Jane, I'm blind. So they're waving. Okay, I see you. The point is, that we get to it, and it's like no reentry. So, okay, I can't go in and with five people. I got to get the other five because once I go in, I can't come back. It's like, okay, let me scan you in. And then, just take a picture, of the ticket, and just go in there. The camera won't take a picture. It's got software.
Like a screenshot?
It will block a screenshot. You can't screenshot it. You can't, take a picture, but, nothing. And so I have to be there to let them in, right? And all this process.
Next time. Go ahead.
There won't be a next time, but if you do it, I would, like I say, have them buy them separately or work out a deal because, if you're doing more than, like you and two friends, it's and everyone has to be on the same page. You can't have someone who's like, they're here and they're there and they're not emailing or they're not texting at the right time because it becomes a big mess. If everyone, once you do it a couple times, it's easy. But the first
By
time,
the end of the game, did you find everybody?
No, this is a disaster. I did the whole deal just to meet my high school friend, Howard, and his wife. Just mainly Howard. It's just I just wanted to get together with him, go play some baseball together on our old ball field, just relive memories, right? And then he said, why don't we go to a game? Let's go to a game. So then I got this brainstorm. Let's get 10 of our friends from high school and church, and let's, it would be a 30 or 40-year reunion. How perfect can this not be? And then we start getting the mess. Uh-huh. At the last minute, last day, two people canceled. Uh-huh. Okay. So
okay,
I'm going
to have to put the person on mute who's making noise. Go ahead, John. Right. Keep talking.
So I find a replacement, and then right before the day of, they go, we can't make it. Okay. So now normally, if I lived in L.A. and it was an L.A. game, not a problem. I have 40 or 50 friends. Let's call someone, get my neighbor, grab him by the hand, come on, let's go a game. Not a problem. But now you're talking, 325 miles away. I don't know barely anyone back in the Bay Area, just, a couple of friends that I've already invited that didn't, couldn't make it. So I have no options, and I'm spending like 3 or 4 hours trying.
You couldn't even pawn them you couldn't even scalp them because you didn't have a physical ticket.
You can't, you can't flip them, right? You can't send them off. So and then what's, So the other thing was that in the process, I'm trying to, text people back and forth. I posted on Facebook. I'm calling around. Here's the thing. I had 3 or 4 people in L.A. that would go, But the problem is I got to get him a hotel. You know, I got – they want to go back after the game. I want to stay in the Bay Area 2 or 3 days. You know, that's going to be like $400 or $500 at least hotel, plus you're gonna, probably going to have to feed him a bit. And so, you know, I was like, that was too messy. So I'm driving up. And my buddy, my bestie, like, I'll be at – he recommended a restaurant right across from the park, Momo's. So, like, okay, meet at Momo's an hour before. Huh?
I thought you were still work at, where is the $1 store or $10 store soon. So
no,
I thought
– Yeah, I used to, but you know they didn't fire me. We had a dispute over health, and I had a claim against them. They wouldn't send me to a doctor, and they were having me break pallets and do a lot of physical work, and which I don't mind. But it's like it's an equal opportunity, so the women and the young men should be breaking pallets. It's just like me. We should alternate, and they wouldn't do it. They just had four of us 55-60-year-old, you know, Mexican men. That, you know, they would not negotiate that. And so I took it legal, and they offered me $25,000 to leave, and I went to all the best lawyers, and there was no way I could do anything else. So I took the money and I left. So I did leave the 99er. And so I'm going – so we're supposed to meet at Momo's an hour before the game. So let's meet an hour before. If there's any delays, because there always is, right, we have an hour of play. Plus you can eat something at the restaurant instead of paying for, you know, ballpark food. And, you know, we can all meet each other and talk and chat and, you know, have a great time. It's a reunion. So I'm going along, and on the five going up, a big rig jackknifes and blocks both lanes. In fact, it's facing the oncoming traffic and how it rested, and it's locked, and they, you know, we can't go around it, and it's like I waste an hour there. So like, oh great, I'll make it, but just on time, you know. So I call and text like, hey, you know, I'm running a little late, but I'll still be there. And they can't get in without me. I get there. I co-rode up with my buddy. I went to San Jose, met a buddy there, and we went together, carpooled, and he had a pass for parking. But we get to the park, and we're on the wrong side of the park. And, you know, parking when you're going to a ball game, you know, just before at 40,000 people, it's like bumper to bumper. So I said, just let me out, you know, half a mile away, running to get there. I get there just before, you know, the ball game starts, 12:45. I'm there about 12:40. Point is, it's just chaos. You can't find anyone. And the two people I wanted to take for the whole thing, they weren't there. Like, they're not at the restaurant.
Oh, my gosh. Sorry for that.
Answering their phone.
Very, very sad story.
It was like 12:40. Like at 12:10. Now, we were supposed to be 11:45, and, you know, game's at 12:45. At 12:10, I'm calling them saying, listen, you know, we're approaching the, you know, stadium. Everything's, you know, is everything good? Let's go. And they're like, they turned off their phone. They disconnected everything. Like, they're not answering. They're not answering text. And what I can understand, my best understanding, they got there early, 20 minutes, like 11:20. So they're sitting there drinking and waiting, and it's 11:45. I'm not there. You know, it's 12 o'clock. I'm not there. I'm telling them, hey, I'm going to be late. And they must have got pissed. I that's all I can figure. Pictures of themselves at the bar waiting, and they even posted stuff on, you know, Facebook. Oh, you know, we're just having a drink in San Francisco. I show up there, no answer. And, like, everyone else is, like, wants to get in. So, like, let me get into the stadium. But I can't go in because I can't come back. So I go back out there. I'm walking around, like, for, you know, an hour trying to find them, texting them, like, hey, I can't get in without you, you know, because I can't re-enter. Oh, are you okay? Is anything wrong? And while I'm doing that, we did some texting through Facebook Messenger. And I go on Messenger, and the wife, she's online. It's got the green light on, and I'm calling her on Messenger. No answer. You know, I'm sending a message. Is everything okay? No answer. It's like, you could at least tell me you're pissed off, right? You could say, you know, we're offended you weren't there, and, you know, you disrespected us or something. Nothing. I finally, around the fifth inning or so, you know, they're calling me in from the game, like, just forget it. Just go in the game. At least hang out with us. And I'm, okay. So I look around, and I find two kids, young kids, like 20. I said, you want to come into a game? It's free. And they're like, yeah, because they were supposed to have tickets, and they had a problem. So they had the wrong game. So I said, come in with me. It's free. And they're like, you know, they think it's a scam. They're like, are you sure? Is this for real? I said, absolutely. You're young kids. I got extra tickets. Let's go. Let's have a party. And I said, do you have any friends? And they had a friend. I said, call him up. You know, and he's like, how soon can you be here? 15 minutes. I said, is it a tight 15 or an hour? He said, tight 15. I said, come on down. It's a party. You know, and so I got in to the stadium. By the time he arrived, it was like the seventh inning stretch. And so I saw about maybe an inning of it that I can remember, and the game ended, but yeah. They won.
Yeah, John, can we talk to Don, please, because Don may hang up on us. Don, are you there, my friend?
Don, he's gone. He left in the seventh inning. So bottom line of the story, the next day I figure, well, they're upset. You know, I'll just let them cool off. So I, you know, said a thing in the morning. I really apologize. The only reason I did this whole thing was to meet with you guys. It didn't work out. You know, the logistics went wrong. You know, can we get together? Love to see you guys, blah, blah. Nothing still. And they even posted pictures that were in San Francisco and a picture of the stadium, and they said, we won. So, like, it looks like they went to the game when they didn't. And so, you know, after 40 years, it's like, I'll just have to wait till they'll cool down.
Where,
you know,
does Howard, where's Howard from? Is he from San Jose?
We grew up in, played baseball and sports together. I mean, not on the team, but like we'd play every day after school. We'd go on the field and, you know, play with all the jocks. And he's a great guy.
So it was a matter of time errors because you were late due to traffic or other circumstances. You were late. They were earlier. So they kind of... they got, you know, maybe mad, frustrated, so they left and they don't want to talk to you anymore, etc. But
I would also say, you know, Howard is a very laid-back guy. He's a cool guy. I grew up with. I mean, he would if someone threatened me, which only happened once or twice, he would like jump in like and he would take a bullet for me. And he's a sheriff, He's spent his whole life defending, helping people. So I know he's cool. I have a feeling probably his wife. You know, they're drinking. She's probably a little irritable because she don't want to go see a game. She's actually like, I don't like baseball, but. Out of the blue, they're kind of like, oh, we booked a hotel, we're going to hang out. So I'm sure he accommodated her. She probably wanted to go just to be by the water in San Francisco, romantic. And, you know, I guess we just have to go to this game. And I'm sure she got very pissed off because they were early. They were, you know, on their game. But, you know, I can tell you for the game, I had one other guy, he was going to go, and his wife canceled, and so he was out. I had another one, his wife was going to go, and then the day of the game, like, she canceled. And so I'm not saying it's a woman issue, but it's kind of a woman issue.
Don, you're back on the air. Either your call dropped.
Don, I lost talk to you. It seems everything. Can you please update us? I mean, since I believe you're a Democrat person, and you like Joe Biden to be elected, do you think, can you update us on Joe Biden's situation, please?
Well, I mean,
Don, you're on the air.
Right. Joe Biden is right now, if you saw the papers in one poll, he's, I believe, up by 4% points.
What paper is that? Because I can tell you almost every article, I could be wrong, almost everyone, he's down 4 points. Now, there's a couple where sometimes, he's leading or tied. But almost every poll, he's behind, and no one wants him to be president, the majority, even his own party. What poll was that? Was it the Don? The Don Harris poll?
I was going to say before you jumped in there, Singapore Mike, we should have told John that's too bad. I'm sorry that happened to you. That the person he wanted to see the worst, he couldn't see.
Isn't that crazy? What can I say? But, you know,
I would say next time you do this, leave 24 full hours before the game. Like, leave at noon the day before.
I would say they're probably not going to be a next time, but I'm rescheduling a reunion in 2050. But I would say the other thing is, don't have variables you can't control. In other words, like, you know, do it in L.A. where I'm like half an hour away, and, you know, and if there's a cancellation, it's one person. You know, don't do like, oh, I got 20 people coming, and, you know, it's out of area, and you know, it's like it's too many things you can't control. You know, and that's the main problem is I had, you know, three or four people cancel. I had to flip it left and right, and, you know, if you're out of town, you can't do that. It's just, you know, I can do it. But people aren't flexible like that, you know.
Okay,
you know, the other thing too is I'm patient and pretty kind, and the problem is if someone's late half an hour or an hour, I don't freak out. I don't go crazy. I'm like, I got plenty of stuff. I work on my songs, my internet. I got my laptop. You know, I go on social media, whatever. It's never – it doesn't really burn me up. But a lot of people, they don't have that stuff. You know, they're not musicians or whatever. And when they're sitting – they're just stewing, you know. They just get all angry. And I understand it, but because they have no option. It's like their life is just running out on them. So that's one of the lessons, too, of it all.
Okay. I was going to say, Singapore Mike, were you asking Don about what the current feeling is about Joe Biden? Is that what you were asking, Singapore Mike? I have both Sarge and Singapore Mike back on. You've never been muted the whole show, Singapore Mike. I'm sorry, but we didn't make a conclusion. But now you can talk if you want, so you can quiz Don about his feelings about Biden. Otherwise, I'll give my input. Joe Biden has lost popularity because the youth are still suspicious that he's fully supporting Netanyahu, but he's technically not. He asked the humanitarian workers to have full access to Gaza and the West Bank that have no blockades. He's openly called Netanyahu to immediately cause a ceasefire, and the whole world's looking at Biden right now, and they don't want it. We don't want that type of association 100% with Israel. However, we have over a 65-year relationship with Israel, so we can't just throw it away.
Well,
can somebody
else go ahead.
My question
to that is, and I understand the media, I understand the, you know, the, I wouldn't call it necessarily propaganda, but just the one-sided reporting that, you know, Israel is doing ethnic cleansing and they're just, you know, being evil, evil, evil. It's like, you know, I'm not afraid to go to Israel and carry a Bible and say I'm a Christian and be a tourist and sightsee and marry someone and have babies and blah, blah, blah. I have no fear of that. I cannot do that in a Muslim territory in Gaza or in Iran.
The problem
or
with
in
Gaza is I hung up on Singapore, Mike, and Sarge. I'm sorry, but I'm not going to sit here all night waiting for them to talk. Okay, so
you
we got Don, Jane, and Don and Jane and John. So what I have to say, John, is the whole thing, I understand your point of view, but the fact of the matter is the international community asked if they could bring stuff into Palestine to feed them and make them heal. It's not being done properly. I heard 4 to 5 civilian workers were killed in the process.
Do you know why that happened, though?
Don, you're going to have to answer, John, because I have to rewrite the show. And I'm getting crabby. Well, now Don just hung up.
Okay, well, that's just you and me. Well, just, let me just a quick reply, though. See,
just go ahead and talk,
because
I don't have a speaker on my land phone, so go ahead and talk.
Because Hamas always works with they put their bombs and soldiers and military stuff with kids, with families, with hospitals, with schools. So that's the problem is, and there are going to be mistakes made when you're in war and you're blowing things up. And they'll switch things. They'll put, you know, kids in an area where it's, you know, they'll put soldiers in all in areas that's supposed to be just people friendly. You know, and then something happens, and then they go, oh, they killed some children. It's like, you know, it's up to the Palestinians to get Hamas out of there. It is a kill zone. But the point is, if Hamas was blowing up your hospital or putting weapons and arms in your schools and slashing, you know, cutting babies out of stomachs and parading it, I understand the Jews are killing people, you know, or at least the military leadership. But the point is, they don't parade it. They don't take selfies and dance and rape the dead bodies and show it to their family and post it on their network. You can't compare. And we would be screaming like kill them, get them out of here, or blow them up or something. You know, I mean, at least half our country would. But to see people defend,
I have a question, John.
Well, go for it.
Okay, I don't want to talk about Israel because I'm exhausted, but okay, Singapore Mike came on the show. Before I could even tell the headliner, he starts going into a conversation about the current clerical Muslim leader in Iran. Then we were kind of souring up in the middle, so I asked you about your baseball game. You went into a big explanation, which everybody understood. Don faded into the sunset twice, and his call dropped once, and he called back in, and then all of a sudden he abruptly hung up without telling anybody why.
Yeah.
And I just think it's rude. And then Sarge just sat there like a dork the whole show and didn't say a word. So anyways, that's my take.
Well, I guess there's certain expectation levels.
Well, you know, they can't expect to have the floor all the time. And Don told me he was busy tonight with paperwork, so I understand if he didn't want to talk. But the overall arch is that our personal stories are way more important than national news. Like my son coming home and you not seeing your friend of 40 years. So you never got a hold of Howard after all this?
No answer. So we just have to wait till things cool down. I mean, there's a certain level where if you just keep, you know, every hour, like, talk to me. It's like, hey, they got the number. If they want to talk, they talk. They're pissed for, you know, whatever reason. It's probably very logical in their mind. You know, if I was there an hour early and I booked a thing, you know, a hotel, and I'm hanging out, and someone didn't show, and they felt I was, you know, I felt they were sliding me. You know, I could, but I'm different temperament. I would just go, oh, hey, I mean, I'm in L.A.
Obviously, they know that
they
had a problem because you were texting them. It's not like you blew them off.
They know that I spend a lot of money on tickets. They know that there's a lot of coordination involved. They have kids. They have grandkids. They, you know, their daughter had an accident where she was in the hospital. She cracked her skull, and they didn't know if she'd ever walk again or even die. So you're used to that thing of like, oh, they're in rehab and they can't show up. They got to wait. You know, there's a lot of stuff with raising kids. You know what the delays are, you know, the unexpected. And the point is, I said, we're meeting an hour early in case the unexpected happens, as it usually does. I said that, you know, several times. So they know we have a cushion. It will be there at game time, and it happened. But they, you know, for whatever reason, they're pissed, you know. Or maybe my message is just didn't go through them directly. You know, maybe they got, you know, sometimes you send it, but they don't really get it. Maybe
who's on the air, please? Is it Singapore Mike or Sarge?
Hey, this is
we're getting towards
Mike.
The end of the show, so if you're not going to talk, yeah. I'm going to get upset. Yeah.
No, this is Singapore Mike. Can you hear
okay,
me?
Okay, Don's call dropped twice. Sarge was a mute, and we didn't know what happened to you.
Because we were disconnected, my dear, suddenly. It's very weird. It seems your show is number one with NSA. And NSA,
yes.
You know, it's back of that. But it's okay. It's
just
okay.
Just
because
I said
okay.
I thought Dick Cheney was already dead?
Maybe. I don't know. But maybe. World War III is already started. And Ayatollah's on the 4/13. In 48 hours, there is a very big chance, high probability of 75%, they're going to send missiles to Israel. And Israel,
do you think they're
going to
send ground troops?
They have 1 million army men. And remember, they can send the missile as close as Iraq. You know, they can go to Iraq borderline. Anyway, south of Iraq belongs to Ayatollahs anyway, because of Shiaism. So they can do very close to
I'm
Iraq.
Glad my son got out of the army in the nick of time.
Yes. We are glad too, because we don't want anything happen to anybody. I mean, nobody likes war. But the Iranians don't want war. Israelis, they don't want war. But the Ayatollahs own on the eclipse of the sun. Netanyahu, His Highness.
What if America gets pissed off and they carpet bomb Iran?
Well,
like,
that's
just
fine. For
take one giant effing weapon and blow them out.
That's fine. But they will take care of the IRGC. So then Iranian, the rest of the people, they are able to go overthrow the stupid government of Iran. So, yes, it's no problem. We are happy. I mean, we are happy that Israel killed. I don't say that they have done it, because they never said they have done it or they deny it. So we put it that we assume that they have done it. They have done it. General Zahedi.
John, I have
to
go to the bathroom, so hold the floor a minute.
Okay.
Cool. I was going to add in that if Israel wanted to nuke off a couple countries, they could do it. They don't. If Iran or any of these other countries, you know, Syria, Lebanon, whatever, had the capability, they would, and to wipe out Israel, they would just do it in a heart. They'd be like, yeah, not a problem. You know, bye-bye. Israel won't do that. You know, they do manipulate
in other ways
economically, but, you know, they do have some control.
The Iranian people don't want war, but Ayatollahs want war. Ayatollahs are different from Iranian people, people, because 90% of them, they don't want, like this, as the son of a gun. You know, he was already trained in Gaza before. Iran is occupied by the same PLO, the same fucking people that in the United States, they go in the New York and they say, death to America, death to Israel. How the fuck you can be? You live in this country and you love this country, and then you come and turn against the country that gives you everything? I mean, that's the same thing happened in my ex-country. You have to understand that they came and took over and basically killed so many Iranians, so many people hanged, so many political prisoners in Iran. It's like North Korea, like China, my friend. Right? So in that situation, you have no other alternative. If United States corporates on Iran for benefit of the future generation, whatever happens, let it be happen. For freedom, for justice, for peace of the mankind.
Well, I've always my feeling, kind of with the Gaza thing, is just they're always going to fight. They've always have. They always will. This isn't something that's going to be decided in a year or in a generation. It's a bloodline, and it will always continue. So my feeling towards it, it's like two people that they will never resolve. You know, they want a divorce. And so the
right.
So you have two choices. Either you get rid of Israel, or they can't. Where are they going to move? That's where they were.
No, no, no.
That's what they've wanted.
I'm just saying, with the Palestinians.
Go ahead.
We cannot get rid of Israel. People can be friends of Israel, and then they can live in peace and love with Israel, but they don't want it.
That's what I'm saying is you can't get rid of Israel. They're not moving, and they've got the money. They got the bomb. I'm just saying with the Palestinians, you know, it's like either you build a big super wall and you know, or you just say, get out, just go to another country. But their brothers don't want them. Jordan doesn't want them. Egypt doesn't
right.
want them. Nobody wants them
because
they're troublemakers.
Because they're troublemakers.
They make trouble. They overthrow governments. They bring in Hamas or, you know, whatever. Or they work with the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. They're the ones who did the Olympic killings in Munich. So that's just been their history. So if we want World War III, let it just continue. If we want to stop it, kick them out of there or put a big wall and defend Israel. Go ahead.
I'm back.
It's about the Red Reefs. Red Reefs, you see, there were 13 Red Reefs. That Red Reef, when it become a cow, Israelis, they have killed so far 9 of Red Reef. They remind there is the four more left, and they are going to do it on the 22 of April if the Red Reef become a cow. If not, they have to wait a little bit longer to do it. But around
From a biblical, Christian, Judeo-Christian sense, you know, the Christians believe that Christ is Messiah. The Jews are waiting for their Messiah. But the point is, from a Christian point of view, a peacemaker will come that before we go to Armageddon. And then in the middle of it all, he will turn on the Jews, and then we'll have Armageddon. And, you know, people may say they don't believe that. But the point is, history has just led us up to this moment. If it was just a story, the Jews would have been killed off a long time ago because everyone tries to kill them. And the focus was with Hitler, the focus was with Babylon, Assyria, Egypt, the Middle Ages, the Roman Empire. They were always slaves, always oppressed. And, Herod tried to kill them off. And Titus went into the temple in 79 A.D., killed the priests, they tore down the temple, and if there was any other culture, they would have disappeared like the Sumerians and all these other, you know, African dead tribes, but they're still here. So I think the Bible prophecy is coming true. You know, now a lot of people don't believe that.
Very well, it may be true, my friend, but the question is, Israel just trained 4 or 5 days ago attacking Iran again. So they're ready, loaded to go. Ayatollahs are ready, loaded to go.
Is there any way that Iran could function without their Ayatollahs? You know, it's like as long as you have them, you're going to have war.
Yes.
I think Russia would have to be involved in the pact.
Maybe Russia said fuck Ayatollah, and instead they go after Ukraine. You know, sometimes the problem will solve automatically. You see, the Israel will go nuke Iran or to the point of nuke Iran, and then Putin will take over Ukraine, China will take over Taiwan, and so all these hot spots will automatically be solved, my friend. So sometimes
and that's very possible because we have choice and you know, life is fluid, war is fluid. But now here's the question. See, as a Christian, I would say, like from the natural, I'd say that probably could happen. Now, biblically, the issue is
what's kept the Jews going is the promise of faith. You know, that the God, they're God's people, that God's chosen. He'll deliver them, and that faith just keeps them going no matter, you know, as bad as Auschwitz got, as bad as the Holocaust was, you know, as bad as the all, you know, years and years across Europe, they always get persecuted and killed and run out of town. But the point is, both seed, Ishmael, and, you know, from Jacob's side, they're both, or Isaac, they are God's children of promise. And Old Testament, it does say that Ishmael, he'll be a wild man. He'll thrash against the other nations, the other peoples, and, you know, he'll just be an uncontrollable thing. And you look at today, you know, who beheads people, right? You know, the Muslim nation, they do jihad. And they do create, you know, they strap bombs to themselves, and they yell Allah Akbar as they blow up.
If religion, my friend, teaches to kill, it's better not to have a religion.
John, I was going to read Galatians 4 tonight because they talk about Sarah versus the servant that had Ishmael. We were talking about that in the New Testament, too, because that guy from Tajikistan was Muslim. I was trying to explain to him how the Jews and Christians look at the bastard child,
right.
The Ishmael child.
The point of what I'm trying to make is, if you want to disprove the Bible, everyone points your nukes at Israel and hit a button and see what will happen. It's not going to happen, and the only reason why is God will stop the buttons. The bombs will not work. They'll blow up on your own launch pad or whatever. I'm just saying, and you could say, oh, you're full of baloney. I'm just saying, Bible always wins, and no matter what you're going to do, the Antichrist, he's going to make peace between Israel and his brothers. They're all going to be united. And you go, it's impossible, but here's the thing. If someone does that, the world's going to follow. Like, peace between the Jews and the Muslims, world peace with all Russia and China. Like, we're going to, right now, we're at this point of, you know, they put the doomsday clock like another minute closer to doomsday. So even the experts are saying we're going to blow ourselves up. The best minds are saying it's inevitable. We will die out, right? And the only hope is a Messiah. The only hope is salvation from God. I'm just saying we're playing out the book.
Ask you this question. Even Messiah come in 5 minutes from now, what would be happen to Messiah? Messiah would be killed the same way that Jesus Christ did, the same way Moses did, and Rama, Krishna, and etc. happened.
Right.
Because
did you read Revelation where it says the beast had a fatal wound? And that the false prophet brings life to the beast, an image of the beast. You know, is this the AI? Is it where? The point is, yeah, they will kill him, but he'll come back. And they'll wonder who can make war with the beast now. With the beast now, yeah, I'm speaking of the future. Now this hasn't happened, so let's Singapore Mike. If these things play out that way, would you believe the Bible is accurate, and would you become a Christian? Based on the revelation of John in chapter 13, verse 18, it says, "Behold, I saw a beast. He caused all, great and small, to worship the beast and his image, and took his mark. You know, the name. It's a number. It's the name of the man. It's his image." Would you still believe, or would you say, "Oh no, that's just a fake. You know, it's just imagination. It's the sky god."
What I say. That Iran, after Ayatollahs, there will be thousands, hundreds, millions will become Christians because they themselves, they tried. Because you see, Shiaism was forced to Iran. You know, before Muhammad came to Iran, Islam comes to Iran, what happened? Islam was forced. You mean they when they came, they took over Iran like what they have done last 45 years. Same thing, same crap, lie and deception. And then people, they said, you know, you become Muslim or we will behead you. So what happens in Iran? People were Jewish, they were Christian.
they were Zoroastrians, they were other ancient religions in Iran. And then what happened? People say, okay, don't kill me, it's okay. I become a Muslim, Islam.
Right.
And then, you know, they were forced. So this forced religion is basically is, you know, it's not acceptable for us. We never, we believe in Zoroastrianism, we believe in Judaism, Christianism, etc. So people will go back to their roots.
You guys, I'm going to bed. You guys can talk as long as you want.
Okay.
Now here's a follow-up. What do you believe? Do you believe in Christ? Do you believe they died on a cross for, you know, like it was just a fake story? It never really doesn't mean anything. And
I never
what
that.
Is your Messiah or your God or your faith? Or do you believe there is no God?
No, you put the word on my mouth, my friend.
I'm asking you. I'm asking you what you believe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, what I believe in universal peace and universal. You know, all religion came from the same source. Therefore, you know, they have, it's like you go class 1, class 2, class 3, class 4, class 5.
When you say it came from the same source, are you saying God? Are you saying from men who are interpreting God? Or what are you saying? Or are you saying it's just an impersonal force?
You see, I believe that everybody, I mean, you are Christian, I love you. If you are Hindu, I love you. You know, or Jewish, I love you too. So the question is here, our commonality. I'm not looking for differences. I'm not looking that you say today Messiah come 5 minutes from now or Messiah will come another 1,000 years from now. It's not my business. It's between you and yourself, you know. But I'm not looking for differences. I'm looking for more commonalities. When we are looking for more commonalities, then we become friends, like tonight. You talk about a lot of things happen to you in San Francisco, you know, etc. Which is
what?
We never knew that. You know, we become commonality. We talk about World War III, Ayatollahs, Israel. So then, you know, commonality. You know, otherwise we can't. You know, I'm not going to tell you about. I believe that you love Trump, so. I mean, I'm not going to say crap against Trump. Then it will be divide us, and if it divides us,
you're not giving clarity. In other words, if I said Donald Trump came from a dog, and someone said no, Donald Trump came from a duck, and someone said no, Donald Trump came from John Trump, you know, senior or whatever, you would go, oh, that's the truth. So what you're saying, okay, Buddha's the way, Krishna's the way, Jesus is the way. It's like, no, not it can't all be everyone's the same way. Jesus says, I am the way. So now maybe he's lying. Maybe he's been misrepresented.
That means whatever you want to believe is okay, but you are my friend. I'm not you. We are not going to be against each other. You know, you have right to believe whatever you want. Where, you know, whatever, you know, Jewish wants to believe in, whatever Zoroastrianism or forced Muslims to us in Iran.
We both agree on that. But see, here's the thing. You're being neutral and skating around the question. What I'm asking is, what do you believe? Now, I believe everyone's right. No, but personally, what do you believe? You think that you will meet Jesus or Krishna? You think you'll meet all of them? You're not being definitive. I can state it and say, I believe it's Christ. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm not going to kill you over it. I'm not even going to get mad.
I'll check out what you believe.
My
answer to you is I see all of them as great teachers, great prophets, and they brought every time new ideas, new teachings. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Ten commandments came from Moses. Okay, and then other commandments came from Jesus Christ, okay, and was higher than Moses.
Right.
Because Moses spoke to the time of the people for that time,
right.
Okay? But you have to know Ten Commandments, and then you have to know the new teaching of Jesus Christ. And then it's like Microsoft 6, then Microsoft 7, Microsoft 8, Microsoft 9, 10, 11, and right now here is 11. So
whatever you learn from
Microsoft 11, it doesn't matter.
I get what you're saying, but question though, who made at a certain point you say, but who made Microsoft? Oh, it comes from Bill Gates. It came from Microsoft company.
Okay, yeah,
they
yeah.
make different
okay.
versions. So here's who is your God that made Jesus, Buddha, Allah, Krishna? When you meet him, is he just like a cosmic light guy that you know? And he's just you just know him as love, and he has no name. Do you think of it? He's an entity you will meet in heaven or a spiritual world.
No, it's spirituality. Everything is about spirituality. The America loves spirituality, my friend. You know that, my friend. That's why United States is Generation S.
So what is God? He's a spirit. But what is it? Is it an actual entity, or is this just a generic like the pavement, the tree is energy and it's the universe? Is that God to you, or what is?
God is love. Let's put it that way. I answer you with that. God is love. That's it.
Well. You know, your mom is love, right? Is your mom God? She created you. I mean, she didn't create you. Actually, your father put the life in her, and she had the egg that you grew and lived in. But again, but where did your mom and dad come from? Well, from their mom and dad. Well, where did Adam and Eve come from? Oh, from God, like an actual entity. Or maybe you believe it's someone else. I'm not trying to pigeonhole you and attack you.
No,
I'm just trying to understand what you believe.
I answer you that it's God.
Because love is impersonal.
You may say, okay, Christian God is different from Jewish God. Or Buddhist or Hinduism or et cetera, but I believe is the same God, but it sent its representative or whatever you want, prophet, visionary, or whoever you want to call it, or the son sent at 2,000 years ago. Said, okay, now Moses, Jewish people know Ten Commandments, etc.
From Elohim, right? So here's the question. When I say, who's your father, you go, oh, he's, Joseph Ben-Gurion or whatever, right? You know your dad's name. If you said, he's kind of like he's love. He's one of these many, all fathers are like him. You go, no, you have a specific father, though, and you can track to that. I'm just saying, is it Elohim? Is it Ra? Is it the, Zeus, Apollo? Is it the same person but with different names? Or are there actually different multiple gods that you believe in?
No, I don't believe, I believe the same God that, is unknown. That's why Hydro Collider on the April 8th, on the eclipse time.
So you believe he's unknown? He's an unknown energy. He's an unknown entity.
Okay, they were trying to find the black hole, actually, on their website. If you go CERN, S-E-R-N.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I know. They built it over. You see, the Bible, the Revelation talks about how the John the Revelator says, "I know your seat, Satan. I know where where your throne is, and it's in Abaddon. And Abaddon is also it's Apollos. It's basically where CERN is in Geneva, Switzerland. That's where the abyss is, and they've been trying to tap in and get those powers because they want to release the beast."
And it's a beast. That's something they want: time travel, black holes, invisibility, teleporting, all that stuff. It's not just a little hydron, a particle collider. They do rituals. They've done rituals there. They have the Shiva there, the dancing Shiva, the god of destruction. It's the male-female Baphomet. And they have it at the World Health Organization. These are the gods that they are tapping into. Luciferian. They don't believe it's satanic. They think he's the angel of light that tried to enlighten, you know, Adam and Eve, and that he didn't deceive them, in their opinion. And that's come they do, you know, like the Luciferians, they do all the pyramids. They all see an eye, the 666 with the hand signals. And it traces to Egypt. It traces to Sumerian culture. In Babylon, so I'm just trying to track. So basically, God is an impersonal energy.
Whatever you say, okay. I mean, basically, you say you are anti New World Order. Let's put it that way.
Oh, anti New World Order, but that's one thing. But it's another thing to go, what is your God? That, I'm just trying to understand your God, not to attack you, or just
my
to get
God
an understanding.
Is love. My God is love. That's it. Love your enemies. That's it.
Well, that's an energy. That's not a specific person.
Love thy neighbor as much as yourself. Simple. I mean, if we cannot understand this simple teaching, then shame on us, you know.
But it's more than that, because does love exist without without people manifesting it? Or no, I can say love will change the world. We change the world. Love is in us, right?
I mean, you love your dog more than your mother, father.
Some people do. Have you ever heard the saying, love will pay the bills? And it's a joke, right? It's basically saying love will not pay the bills, right? You have to go pay the bills yourself. But that's a saying, love. You're making it an impersonal, generic escape. It's not, you're saying it's not anything I can tangibly put my hand. It's like me saying, who's your dad? Oh, he's love. Well, where does love live? Oh, out there in the universe. Or it's an energy,
or it's something you feel. So you're telling me you don't believe the Christian, you don't believe Jesus, you don't believe God is love?
Well, God is love, but God is more than love. He's righteous. He's an actual entity.
Okay.
He's that person who gave Moses the law. He physically, manifested and said, don't have other...
I say the same thing as you do, but maybe a little bit different thing, so... I have no problem
with
that.
Definitely different. Well, here's the thing, though. Do you believe that the Ten Commandments are inspired of God, of love?
Well, he was in the mountain, and
he brought back
God.
Tablets. And who gave him God?
Right.
Now, what is the first commandment? What was it? Love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Have no other gods before me. Right? That's where it all kind of like divided a line, because the Egyptians had plenty of gods. You know, the Romans had thousands of gods. Sumerians. Right? So here is this one guy, Moses, saying, have no other gods. This is, you know, and maybe he's wrong. I'm just saying there's a different, you can't, you know, lump them all together. He's saying this is different. And it differentiated, you know, the gods of, Baal or Baal and, you know, Moloch. They were sacrificing people and you know, not just animals, but children. And you look to the Aztecs, right? They were sacrificing people on their pyramids.
So,
right?
So,
that is history.
So let me see. Let me talk to you. So now what is your problem is with me?
Oh, I have no problem. Here again, see, it's not a problem. I'm just saying, I'm asking who your father is. Who's your daddy? My daddy is Elohim. He manifested through Jesus Christ, the Word, became flesh. It's the number one book on the world. He said, you know, my words will never pass away. Elohim said, you know, there's no other God but me. And here's later, you know, Muslim, Judaism, Christianity, Catholicism, they still worship all the same God. You know, whether they have different ritual, but the point is, I'm just asking who your daddy is, and you're saying he's love, but you're not telling me who your daddy is, and you know I don't know if you're afraid that I'll think bad or I'll judge you or try to persecute you. No, I'm just asking who your dad is.
My
dad is Joseph Wallace Yoder. My mom is Jenny Miranda Yoder. It's very, I don't say he's love, he's hope. No, he's a specific person that birthed me. So who created the first man and woman? Love or, or a person?
Okay, it came from Adam and Eve, as we know the story very well, indeed. I mean,
but who created Adam and Eve?
Well, the
God,
I mean, it's
right?
Okay,
according to Genesis. According to Genesis, not other religions, but according to Genesis,
unknown,
God.
Unknown power. Okay, you can say it, unknown power, and beyond recognition, beyond thinking, beyond even you know what maybe. That's why I say God is everywhere. God is love. God wants you to love thy neighbor. God wants you to love your enemies. I mean, if you cannot love your enemies,
you're saying love wants you to love. Hope wants you to hope. Do you see how that sounds? It's like telling a kid, I need to obey the law. How come? Well, because love wants you to. It's like, the government, the policeman, the judge wants you to do that. The lawmakers, the lawmakers come from a lawgiver. If you have laws, there's a lawgiver. The laws didn't come from hope or love. It came from a lawgiver God, Elohim. Or you can call him, whatever you want, Ra. The point is, it's a specific entity. I just think that you're not identifying or you're denying. Romans says this. Men worship four-footed, beasts and creatures and birds and things, because he looked around at Rome and at the Babylonian cultures, and he said they know not what they worship. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And it's like, I believe in God, but not a specific, it's just kind of love. It's something out there denying, who he really is. I'm just saying,
I respect your father and your mother, if I met him. Right now, over 30 minutes you're talking. You don't even let me, my friend, talk.
You won't tell me what you really believe. I'm asking, you're just saying it's love. No, it's beyond that, right? It's beyond that.
I mean, okay, there is no question beyond, it's beyond that. But see, I'm talking to, understanding of your needs. So basically, God, first of all, in Muslim, they call it Allah, okay? But
right.
Iranian, we Iranian, we don't believe Allah because we believe Khodavand. In Farsi, we say Khodavand. So our God is called Khodavand, simple, because we know that Islam forced religion in my ex-country. So they too, Farsi, mix Allah Akbar, Allah, Allah, Mashallah, and
Allah Akbar.
We don't say that. We say Khodavand Buzurg. That means God is great. You see, in English, means God is great. We say that. We never say Allahu Akbar anymore. Because that's we know, because Shiism fucked up Iran so good that every Muslim in Iran are awake, and they know what the fuck happened to them suddenly. First they were thinking, freedom, freedom, freedom. Let's bring Ayatollah. They ask Ayatollah a question.
Right.
After coming down from Air France, free ride. And then me and you can never get a free ride from Air France, okay? But they give it to him. They brought him there. And then journalists in Iran, they ask Ayatollah Khomeini, the first one, Khomeini, you come after 40 years in exile from to Iran, how you feel? He said, I don't have any feeling about Iran. So Iranians, stupid dumbass, but those, I can say 90% of them, they were stupid dumbass, because suddenly they give their power. It's everything is about power. It's not anything anymore about love. You see, North Korea,
is about power. Putin is power. Everywhere you go, it's just power, power, power. It's not about love anymore.
Right.
So that's the problem. And then what happened? Anyway, Ayatollah responded, I don't have any feelings come to Iran. And then he becomes suddenly the head of the everybody else. Again, power, power. So we can see that, so in Iran, we don't say, we don't even, in Arabic, Gaza. You know what is Gaza? In Iranian means let's go lunch. Let's go Gaza Bukhari. Gaza Bukhari. That means let's go have lunch together. But Gaza is Arabic word. They put in our vocabulary.
Uh-huh.
Some of it.
Right.
And you know what is Gaza means? Means drink from camel urine. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying, my friend? No, you understand.
So it's insulting. It's an insult,
right? Insulting, because that son of a bitches, they came and revolution two times before, and this is the third time they came and robbed Iran and burned Iran books. I mean, very, very top books. But still, we have saved them, from
those times. So Iranian culture is different from Muslim culture, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what the people, if there is a war is coming, which 90% I strongly believe everybody loaded, ready to go, but again, those are fucking Muslims. They're doing that. They're fucking Ayatollahs doing that. Not Iranian. Iranian people they don't approve of this shit that is happening.
Right.
And many, many, many people are right now in Iran is also scared because they can have a possibility of nuclear, Samsung options from Israel.
We call that Armageddon. But here's a question though, I realize I see the plight and I realize there's resistance. But Islam's been around since 700 AD. So that's what from now 1300 years, 13 centuries,
1402 to be exact. Okay.
So we're talking not a 10-year problem. We're talking like how many generations of you have come and gone, and it's still there. Do you see that? Think this is going to go away if it's been happening for 20 lifetimes?
People become Christian or Jewish or any other religion they want to choose. Yes, when freedom comes,
people still there.
On 13th day of Iranian New Year, that happened. The Israeli strike on the near embassy. Actually, they did not hit the embassy technically because that wasn't part of the embassy. Embassy were two buildings, like twin towers, almost were like twin towers connected to each other. So they went after the second tower, Israelis. And Israelis, what has happened to them is really that wasn't part of the embassy anyway. But they had a big sign that was some of the, it covered some of the other building too in a, it's a bullshit way, So that's why they say, you hit our embassy, bullshit. No. They did not. And Iranians are dancing. Iranians are very happy that three of its biggest generals died. And also many, because the same people killed not only Jewish people, Israelis on October 7th, and they were masterminding that, and also they killed before many Iranians for freedom protest and hijab, anti-hijab protests. So my friends, so I hope you understand that Irani always differentiate Iranian from Ayatollahism. Ayatollahism is a bullshit. Nobody wants them. Nobody care for them. Nobody care for them. But that 10%, they have the power in charge. Those 10%, they are fucking other 90% as well too. Only 10%
right.
They have all the money, all the connections, and
right, just like our elite. You know, the common people here don't want war, and they want peace, and they want success. But we have the elite that control us, and they run the show. We have
right.
a much nicer life than other countries. But we still have the oppressed here. But now here's a follow-up, though, okay? And I want you to kind of see my process. Pretend I'm just a of life, right? And I'm coming to you, and I'm just going, so how did – and I just want to know about life. I'm curious. Like, how do we get here? And you start to explain, well, you see, there was just the universe, and then love came and brought us into life. It's like, how is that a spirit? Is it a god? Is it an entity? Who made the first man? How did it come about? Do you just believe it just
okay. –
it just evolved out of nothing?
Something you don't know about Islam is, you know – when, you see, first of all, there is a Jordan man, Rick